are going to look to the Lord here and ask God to speak to our hearts. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I ask that you would do a very special work in our heart. We sure do need to hear from you. And Lord, that you'd give me grace, that you'd give me power, that you'd give me strength, Lord, both physically, spiritually, Lord, in a way that'll help this time together, that we would be able to be focused on your word and actually do something about it. And Lord, that you'd just bless now in this opportunity to serve you and this opportunity to learn, to take what we've learned and to apply it to the rest of our life. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so you'll notice here, this is 23, verse number 7, where the Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So I would start it out with this prevailing question: so what do you think? So what? What do you think? And that's one thing that, have you ever noticed that it's pretty difficult to stop? Somehow or other, thoughts find their way into our minds. And the reality is that it really does matter to God what you think. Did you get that? It really does matter to God what you think. For as a man thinketh in his heart, well, so is he. That's who he thinks he is. It comes to a place in our life as a child of God that we need to look squarely at who we think we are. Because so often we will think and we'll think and we'll think and come to a place in our life when we wind up being the person we think we are. And that's why there are so few that really take a major step in the right direction. Why? Because they don't think they can be much. They don't think they can do a lot. And so it really, really is a big deal that whatever comes up here, it somehow comes out in our life. It just comes out in our life. So having said that, aren't you glad that people can't read your thoughts? I mean, just think about that. What if anybody in this room could read your thoughts? Well, the reality is, what's the point of showing up? I mean, if everybody can read your thoughts, it could be fairly embarrassing, wouldn't you think? Just let your imagination go. I mean, wow. How many of us are always, well, somehow or other, we just aren't really happy with the thoughts that flow through our mind. We think thoughts that probably would embarrass most people because they embarrass us, and we're surely not going to go around telling people what we just thought. However, the fact is that it matters, it really does, to God. So when we see this, and I'm going to take you over here and notice with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In your Bibles, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I know we've seen this particular passage together before, but we'll establish a point here in verse 19, where the Bible says, what? Know ye not that your... what's the next word? That your body... Now, God is going to concede that the body that you have, that's yours. It's nobody else's. It's exclusively yours. And did you know that you're unique? There's nobody else like you? There's not a carbon copy out there. Well, I know some say I've seen somebody look just like you somewhere else. But there's nobody just exactly like us. When God made us, He just simply threw the mold away and said, that's all the world can handle is one of you. So therefore, we are unique unto ourselves. There'll never be anybody just like us. So he is saying, know ye not that your body, The one that you're living in, okay? There's no question about who God's talking. He's talking to you, all right? And so having said that, he said, is the temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and which you have of God, and you're not your own. And so God is saying, I know that you're you, but you don't belong to you. He goes on to say, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your what? A body. Okay, is that what it says? In your body. No more question. No, it's not somebody else's body we're talking about. It's about your body. And it says, and your spirit. Now, then it says, which are what? Aha. Now God is saying, your body is my body. The one you're living in. Don't you be looking at anybody else. God's pointing his finger at you. Your body is my body. Well, having said that, look, does that mean that our hands are his? Absolutely. Our feet are his, yes? Absolutely. Our eyes are his. Yes. Does he have a right to tell us what to listen to? Our ears are his. Does he have a right to tell us what to look at and what not to look at? Absolutely. Our mouth is his. Does he have a right to tell us what to say wherever it is we go, in the places that we're at? Does he have a right to tell us that? Well, our body is his, right? We are bought with a price if we're saved, okay? If we know Jesus as our Savior, if we know beyond a shadow of a doubt if we die that we'd go to heaven. I mean, look, we like this idea that when somebody asks us if we're saved, we like when we can say, yes, I am saved. I am going to heaven. We like that idea. Yet, on the same note, we are now conceding that my body is no longer mine. We are now admitting, I don't belong to me anymore. So you need to be careful when you say, yes, I'm saved, because you're really admitting to a lot. You're admitting that your body is yours that you live in, and yet it is the temple of God. And yet these hands belong to God. And yet this body belongs to God. And yet these feet belong to God. They need to go where God wants them to go. My mouth needs to say what God wants it to say. All right, preacher, I get all that. I get all that. No matter how tough and no hard it is, at least I've got the privacy of my thoughts. At least I can think in the privacy of my thoughts. And I've got a little bit of leeway and a little bit of play. Well, that's what you think. But you've been wrong before. And you're surely wrong this time. Because you'll notice as I turn over here to Philippians 4, if you look with me to chapter 4, we're going to go look at verse number 8. This is Philippians, if you would, chapter 4. Philippians 4, and the Bible in verse number 8. And I like the way the verse starts out. Some of you have got it memorized. Some of you have seen it before, forever and ever and always and ever and ever and ever and ever. And here it is. We're looking at it again. It says here, finally. Wow, that's a note of authority. God says, now, get this, finally. All right? Don't you miss this now. You better get this. This is really where it's at. He says, finally. And then who is he talking to? What's the next word? Who would that be? Would that be you? All right. So, I want you to understand. Now, this book was written a long time ago. However, it's alive. Okay? This is a living book. It's a breathing book. It's very much alive. And this is an active, ongoing conversation between you and God right now. Did we pray for the Lord to speak to our hearts when we came? So He's a speaking. I mean, this is real. This is as if God were standing in front of you and He was saying exactly what's on His heart. He says, finally, brethren. So if there's no mistake who He's talking to, and there's no mistake on the time frame, because you're here, God's here, and His Word is here, here we go. Finally, brethren. He said, whatsoever things are true. Now I'm going to read what the comma says. A comma is referring to the last phrase, which says, think. Think. You get that? Think on these things. Oh, sure. God wants my feet. He wants my eyes. He wants my hands. He wants my mouth. He wants whatever it is that I have, and now He wants my mind. He wants my thoughts. Is there no out for me? Is there no slack? Couldn't He cut me a little bit of breathing space so I can kind of do my thing off to the side a little bit? Do I have to yield and surrender all of myself to God? Ah, sure. Most definitely. That's what you get. Here it is, God is telling you what to think. Does He have a right? Most definitely. Remember, this body was bought with His blood. When we admitted that we're saved because we asked Jesus to come into our heart and save our soul, all of a sudden we are now admitting that these hands are not mine, neither these feet, neither these eyes, neither these ears, and neither this mind. So now I have to be careful about what I think. And I need to think things that God wants me to think. And so He tells me what they are. He said, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. He also said, whatsoever things are honest, think on things that are honest. Whatsoever things are pure, think on things that are pure. Wow. I mean, how many of you do that every day? I mean, here we are, we're saved. Or are we? Are you saved? Amen? That's an encouraging thought. Saved and on my way to heaven. You've heard me say this before. You know, when we get to heaven, they're going to say amen. So we might as well get ready for it. Let's get all practiced up. I mean, when we get there, you want to say amen with the best of them, don't you? Absolutely. And so here we are in the Lord's house. We need to get in touch with this reality here. I need to think on every day the things that are true, the things that are honest, things that are pure, absolutely, things that are just, I need to think on those, things that are lovely, things that are lovely, think on things that are, hey, have you ever met anybody that's depressed? I'm telling you, if they will take this prescription right here, this is the antidote for depression. If you'll think on things that are lovely. I mean, think about this. If you're here and you're down in the dumps, you know, and somebody says, well, how you doing? Well, I'm not doing so bad. I'm thinking on things that are lovely. They don't go together. You ever notice that? I mean, if you've got a smile on your face, well, obviously you must be thinking on things that are lovely. Hey, God has the answer to all of the stress, all of the despair, all of the discouragement, all of the depression. Think on things that are lovely. Well, that's easy for you to say, preacher. Well, things that are impossible with men are possible with God, right? So therefore, it's possible for each of us to think on things that are lovely, things that are pure. I mean, this is what we're told to do because this is not our mind anymore. It's not your mind anymore. Did you hear that? It doesn't belong to you anymore. You need to quit thinking those negative thoughts. Do you know negative thoughts are normal? Thoughts of depression are normal. That's all normal stuff. But to think on things that are lovely, pure, just, and of good report, hey, that's not normal. In order for you to think on things like that, you have to work on it. You have to do it on purpose. So many of you automatically do that. Now again, I refer to the fact to say to you, look, this mind isn't yours, it belongs to God. So it matters to God what you think. Absolutely. In every way it matters to God what you think. So you come to this place in your life when you just simply say to yourself, Lord, give me the right thoughts. When somebody gets saved, they automatically become a baby in Christ, right? You've heard that, babe in Christ? If you're saved, you were one of those once. If you just got saved recently, you are one of those now. A babe in Christ. And you know, babies don't usually grow up in a real fast process, although sometimes it almost feels like it. But growth can be and generally is a slower process than what we want it to be. So therefore, when the Word of God tells a parent what they should do with their child when they're growing up, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Yes? Train up a child. Therefore, your mind isn't going to automatically think on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. You have to train it. Training is more than just sitting in a class session like this. It's actually putting it to the laboratory where you put your hands on the actual mechanics, the actual working of it. All right, I am now going to assist myself in helping me train myself to think on things that are true. Train myself to think on things that are just and honest and of good report. Train myself to think on things that are lovely. It's not automatic. I mean, after all, remember what the Word of God literally tells us that we are. We are that person over there in Jeremiah 17:9, where the heart is deceitful above all things. That's normal for us. Where the heart is desperately wicked, that's normal for us. So it's not normal to think on the things that we're supposed to think. That's not natural, all right? It's not natural. So for you to think on these things, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. I'm telling you, so many of God's people get to a plateau in their life and they don't seem to get any further. Why? Because it's what they think. Because it's what they think. Well, I've done that, preacher, and it didn't work for me, and it's not going to work again anywhere in the near future. So I just concede and give up. Well, that's what you think. That's what you think. I mean, you have to admit that if you were ever able to get to the next level in your Christian life, wouldn't that be a miracle? Wouldn't it be nice if we could think on that plane? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just think that we can get to the next level, and that if we get to the next level, it's going to have to be God's fault because you can't get there on your own. Amen? Wow. And so therefore, somehow or other, we need to relook I really believe this is an issue in so many of the churches throughout this world that we live in, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches, is that we're lacking in the training part. Oh, we'll come to class all right. Yeah, we'll come and we'll get blessed by a message. We sure will. Absolutely. We'll be encouraged by what we hear, the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Oh, that's right. And we'll be able to maybe even go and share it with somebody. But to actually apply it, to actually make it work, to actually make it come alive, that takes training. That takes an effort. You know, they got this Alcoholics Anonymous program that's out there. And then there are the Set Free programs. And you know what? It's more than just sitting in a one-time class session. Let's come back and let's work on it. Let's work on it. Let's work on it. Let's work on it. So now we need to work on thinking on things that are lovely. Work on thinking on things that are pure, lovely, and of good report. Work on things that are just and honest. Work on it. And that word work somehow brings this thought of exhaustion. Preacher, I'm already tired thinking about it. Do you know how much time I'd have to set aside to do what you're saying? Well, that puts it into your court to say, all right, what's more important to you? We usually put, and we always do actually, we put what's most important to us at the top of the list, don't we? Whatever's most important, that's what we do first. At least that's in our life. Every time, whenever, whatever it is, if we put God first, praise the Lord. That's where it ought to be. But it's not always that way. Not always that way, is it? Not always that. That's the way it's supposed to be, but it's not always that way. I say it again. It's not always that way. It's all about the fact that, look, we need right thinking. We need right thinking. I just know that even here in this room, somehow or other, some of us had wrong thinking this week. Wrong thinking. Negative thoughts that the Holy Spirit didn't even put there. Why? Well, it's that natural stuff that just comes oozing out of us. This is the way I was born. And that's right, it was. But it's got to change. Why? So you can be happy. And so the people around you can be happy because you're happy. You see, you have an effect on other people around you. Yes. I mean, you've heard me say this before, but you've ever been caught being grumpy? And what goes through your mind when you're grumpy? Well, you're thinking grumpy thoughts. Grumpy, 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 grumpy. All of these things. And it's what you think. So as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay? So is he. So you, did you realize that depression's a matter of choice? Did you know that happiness is a matter of choice? Yeah? Absolutely. I mean, here we are. We're living in Council Bluffs. Yeah, well, so what, preacher? Big deal. I mean, we've been here all our life. And we'd like a change somewhere along the way. I mean, if you'd live here, you'd be this way too. Can I say to you, it's like that everywhere. It's like that everywhere. Wherever it is you go, people get tired of the same old, same old, same old, same old. And it gets you down. It gets you down. Yeah, well, preacher, if you'd been around some of the people that I am, it'd get you down too. You know why God put some of those people in your life? To teach you patience. To teach you consecration, diligence, dedication. To teach you how to love those who are so unlovely. Unloving. to make a gem out of you, that we sing the song and we find a lot of peace in this song. He's still working on me, right? You sing that song? To make me what I ought to be, right? How many of you are all you ought to be? Well, preacher, you ought to know by now I'm not. Well, can I ask you, will you ever be what you ought to be? Well, I don't think so, preacher. I don't think so. And some of us come with this idea that since I'm not ever going to be all I ought to be, why even try? So I give up. So here we are, surrounded with this attitude of resignation. Resign. Resign. And why are we with this resigned a resignation, the spirit inside ourselves? Well, it's because what we think. It's what we think. It's what we think. I've noticed through the years in different churches I go to, one of the songs that are sung the most is Victory in Jesus. You know what that tells me? People like to win battles, not just simply lose them, but win, be on the victory side. And I'm telling you, if we can train ourselves to think like we ought to think, that's victory. That's victory. That's victory. And if all you do is think about yourself, it's a guarantee depression is setting in. I mean, just think about it. Thinking about yourself. Oh, what a depressing thought. I mean, just about yourself only. Why? It's a negative thing. But when you start to think about what God can use you with people on the outside, and there it comes. And there it comes. Make me a blessing. Did you ever pray that prayer before you came to church? Lord, I'm about to see a lot of faces. I'm going to get an opportunity to smile a lot. Lord, would you give me the strength to smile? If you don't know what to say, just smile. Make me a blessing. Just go and stand in front of somebody who looks like the world's coming to the end and just smile. You'll be surprised how much that can minister to someone. Well, I couldn't be a blessing to anybody. Hey, that's wrong thinking. You don't think right so often. And that's what God wants to change. He wants you to change the way you think. Now, I'd like you to, go with me, if you would, to the book of Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And while we journey that way, once you get there, I'd like you to notice with me a verse over here in Psalm 19. First of all, we'll go to Psalm 19. We're coming back to Psalm 119, but we sing this one once in a while. I'm presuming you sing it here, but here's the Word of God. What it says in verse 14: Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. My meditation. What is that? What do you do that with? Your big toe? No, it says here actually your heart. So you'll notice then that the heart is connected clearly to the mind. That the heart thinks as well as does the mind, you see. And so let the meditation of my heart be acceptable. So the psalmist is saying, Lord, am I thinking right? Did you ever do that with the Lord? Lord, am I thinking right? Am I thinking right? Am I thinking right? I mean, have you ever prayed about that? Lord, do I have the wrong thinking on this on this issue, on my life, on where I'm at? I mean, look, so many of us, we have career changes. We lose jobs. We're looking for jobs. And what do you think about it? You know, it really matters what you think about it. Did you get that? It really matters what you think about it. Don't you love being around somebody who when hard times show up in their life, they got a smile on their face and said, God is able. You just like to be around those folks. Well, why do they say that? Well, it's because what they're thinking right. Is he able? Why, well, preacher, he's able, but. Now, careful on those buts now. But you don't know the whole story. Well, the reality is, does God know the whole story? And is he still able? I know, preacher, if God ever worked in my life and worked this out, it would be a miracle indeed. It would. Again, God wants to make miracles happen in your life. But it matters that you think that. You need to think that. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Can I say that if you say to yourself, well, miracles aren't going to happen in my life, can I tell you that's going to be true? Because it's what you think. It's what you think. Now, turning over here to Psalm 119, notice verse 15 here. Psalm 119 in verse 15, the Bible says, I will... And what's that next word? Oh, sure. Meditate. Now, it's really, really nice that we read the Word of God. And that's what you're encouraged to do. Read the Bible. It's the best book on earth. Amen. It's the only. I mean, it's the book of authority. It is everything that God wants you to be written in this great book. Majestic book, the Word of God. Read it. And it's good to know that the Bible is good reading material. But then you need to take it to another level. You need now to meditate on what you read. You know what that means? Patience, my friend. Now you need to think about what you read. You need to dwell on it. Meditate. Do you realize growth in the Word of God comes through meditation? That we actually think upon what we're reading. So many of us are so busy. We are in such a hurry. We are in such a rush. We don't have time to meditate. And can I tell you, you suffer yourself when you don't meditate on the Word of God? Why? Because it brings peace to your heart. It brings acknowledgement to your spirit. It brings wisdom to your thoughts and heart, intents of your heart. It's really where meditation is all about. It's about digesting everything God says, allowing the Word of God to come alive off that page and actually minister to your heart and actually change your life. What has the power to change our lives? Here it is. The book that you take with you so often. The places that you go. Why, you even wrote your name in the front of that Bible. Your very own precious Word of God. That's really, really, really big. Really big. And so, this thing about meditation. What is it I'm supposed to meditate on? He says here, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Thy precepts, that's everything that God says in his word. Every jot, every tittle, all that he puts forth, I am going to think on. I am going to think. And the more I think about what it is I think, I'm going to be more like of what it is that I'm thinking. It's what I think. It's what I think. It's what I think. Did you know that the devil's been stealing our minds through all of the allurements that are out here? There's so many things to steal our minds away with. So many things. Why, there's the computer. while there's the television, while there's the radio. And you can go on and on and on. It just depends on what you put the most of your time into. And if we put it into the Word of God, can you imagine what's going to happen in our life? It will change. I repeat, it will change for the good. For the good. I will meditate in thy precepts. And then, as we go to the next verse here, in verse number 23, it says, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did what? Meditate. Thy servant did meditate in thy, what's the next word? Statutes. So how many of you have ever meditated in the statutes of God's Word? Now here comes an embarrassing question. How many of you, in spite of the fact that that word has been there long before you were born, that you still don't know what that word means? Well, that would be a hard one to raise our hand and admit to, wouldn't it? But I find that there are so few people know what the word statute means. And yet, we're supposed to meditate on the statutes of God's Word. Isn't that amazing how little we know of the things we should know so that we can help ourselves be the person we ought to be? Oh, and so statutes, you know what that is? Statutes are borders, they're barriers, they're guidelines that God said, look, I know that you don't know what's right and wrong, and I have to teach you. It's all about growing from a baby. Do you realize that babies don't know anything when they're born? Nothing. Not a single thing. They just don't know anything. One man said, he said, I was born with nothing. I still have most of it. Some of you will get that the more you think about it. But the point is that we grow and we learn. And God teaches us what's right and what's wrong. This is what you don't do. This is what you do. Do you realize that's what God wants you? He teaches you how to be the child of God you're supposed to be. And He writes it down so you can read it every day. Isn't that neat? I mean, you don't have to say, well, I better hurry and memorize it before I forget it. If you forget it, just pick it up and read it again. Read it again. I mean, He leaves it with you so you can see it again. And so you're going to be reminded. I'm going to meditate. Oops, I better not go over there. I better not do this. This isn't right. That's not right. I'm going to dwell upon. I'm going to meditate upon the place I'm supposed to be. So what's that all famous phrase that's universal? Why, it's everywhere. It's called out of sight, out of mind. See, it's even here. It's even here. Out of sight, out of mind. You realize the less you read the Word of God, the less you think upon it? It's mattering here. It's a matter of what you think. It's a matter of what you think. And the more you read the Word of God, the more you think that the things that God wants you to think, things that are just, true, honest, lovely, pure, of good report. Think on those things. How am I going to do that? Well, you're going to have to make yourself read the Word of God. Make yourself dwell upon the Scripture. Make yourself meditate. So, why does a murderer kill? Well, our police system has this word called premeditated. They thought about it first. They thought about it before they did it. Generally, that's what happens so often in our lives. How does adultery happen? Well, you think about it first. How does divorce happen? Well, you think about it first.
All of these things that somehow flood into your mind is what you think. It's what you think. It's premeditated. 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 Do you realize if you say to yourself, well, I'm going to Sunday school all right, but I don't think I'm going to learn a thing. I'm telling you what. I just go, I'll sit me down there, but I ain't going to learn a thing. And when you leave here not learning a thing, it was premeditated. On the other hand, if you think to yourself, but I'm going to Sunday school, and I'm going to learn a thing, you will then, because you're thinking right. Preacher, you don't know the pressures in my life. You don't know the stuff that I go through. I can't be happy. I can't come with an attitude to learn. Well, guess what? That's what you think. You ever use that term? Well, that's what you think. And it is. It's what you think. Whether your thinking is right or whether it's wrong, it's what you think. And we need to correct our thinking when it is we think the things that are not right. Thinking the things that are not right. So, meditation. Meditating on the Word of God. You'll go with me if you'll look here now to verse number 48. Where the Bible says, my hands will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will, what's that word? Meditate in thy, there's that word again, statutes. I am going to think upon the things that you tell me, Lord. I'm going to think. Now again, this is about training, all right? Making yourself do what the Word of God says. Why? Because naturally you don't want to do them. You don't want, it's not your nature. Your nature is to simply ignore the Word of God. Your nature is to just simply get by with as little of church as possible. You realize that's why a lot of people don't come back to church and then in night when the lights are on. Because it's dark outside. Why? Well, because they don't think that they can't think of themselves into church in the evening, because they've already been there in the morning. Somehow we need to change their thinking. They need to change their thinking. You ever try to change how somebody thinks? Gave up on that one a long time ago. Huh? But have you ever tried to change the way you think? You see, that's where this comes down to. If you don't think the way God tells you to, you have to change. And I know it would be a miracle. But with God, all things are possible. Even for you to think right. And I'm telling you, it will make a difference in your countenance. I mean, people are going to like looking at you. I mean, they're going to like what they see that just somehow flows from you. And they want some of what you got. Well, you notice here verse 78. Verse 78 says, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate, there it is, meditate in thy precepts. I am going to think on thy word. You know, David one time made this statement. He said, I encouraged myself in the Lord. I was discouraged. I mean, when the people were going to, they were going to stone him. They were going to kill him. That would get anybody discouraged, wouldn't you think? Well, they would get discouraged, depressed, and sad, and so he went to the Lord and he found strength in God. Now, that's not a new idea. Been around for a long time. It's not a new idea. Now, when is this class done? Okay. So, therefore, it matters. It matters to God what you think. And it ought to matter to you what you think, because it does matter to other people around you.
what you think. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the simplicity of the teaching and instruction of your Word. Would you bless now in these moments that are ahead? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.